Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Delaney. So what?
Hiya, Sam. It's Monday morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Good. We are both in London together, but we're not actually together because we're still doing it remotely. Because London's a big old place, isn't it? And it's quite hard to, you know, get to be in the same place at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. You might as well be in different cities if you're at different ends of the town, yeah.
And this works. This is where we do it remotally. It works, doesn't it? We don't have to be in the same room as each other.
I was just listening to Six Music and I missed the name of the band, but Lauren Laverne was saying that they were a band who lived in different, completely different cities in America, miles away.
Yeah.
And they still recorded albums together that were successful, but rarely met up, did it all remotely.
Do it on WhatsApp video.
And I thought, that's just like me and Andy.
Well, it's the future, isn't it? I mean, I still don't know why more people in business and shit like that don't have video meetings.
I think you also keep meetings. I mean, meetings where you're in the same place in a room. Notoriously, anyone who works in an office, one of the things that fucks them off the most is sitting in meetings, right? And but when you do it on a video call, you keep it briefer, I reckon.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, we do what needs to be done and then fuck off.
But welcome to Small Business Advice Podcast with Sam Delaney and Andy Dawson.
Next week we're going to be
telling you how to make your VAT returns easier every month. Keep that admin to a minimum.
Anyway, let's stop pissing about. How was this morning, the other day?
Well, I had fun, but I've provoked the entire pharmaceutical community globally.
And globally?
Yeah, I've had messages of abuse, and I mean abuse, from like even other pharmacists in America.
Mm.
And they're hunting me out everywhere. Like, so my timeline, every time I go on Twitter, has, like, I'm not joking, hundreds of abusive messages from pharmacists.
See if I can get a look at that while you're telling me.
It's amazing. And then, so I'm not responding to that because, I mean, frankly, what's the point? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. They're just furious. I made a joke that was clearly facetious and tongue-in-cheek, but they've decided, I don't know, I must have hit the rawest nerve of all time because they have gone berserk. I mean, I think someone compared me to a racist because they were saying that's typical of this morning with the racism and all of that. I've been called right wing. I mean, all I said was I thought pharmacists were glorified shopkeepers, right?
Mm.
And obviously that is a stupid thing to say, but I said it with such an obvious sort of facetious tone, you would have thought. Yeah. And also I was immediately corrected by Vanessa Feltz, who said,
yes,
come on, they have to train for 5 or 6 years. And I was just saying, yeah, well, this is how the public perceives them, which, by the way, is true. They do seem like that, and that's wrong. But
I'm just scrolling down through the comments now.
Can you see how many? And then some of them have had to go to Top Flight Time Machine. I feel like it's affected everyone because they found me on Facebook and they started slaughtering me on Facebook. So then I locked my Facebook account so the public couldn't post on my timeline. So then, I mean, the level of research that people do when they're fucked off with you is quite remarkable, right? So now they're like researching details about everything I've ever done and getting stuck into them. There's people making personal jokes about, like, huh, come into my chemist, but I don't think there's enough Regain in the world to help you, right?
Oh,
I mean, like, personal brutal shit. And what they're saying is, on the one hand, they're saying, we are serious medical professionals, and you undermined us with your ignorant comments. Mm. True, I did, and my comments were ignorant. But I'm quite an ignorant person. And then they say, and so they want you to take them really seriously. But on the other hand, they're sending messages just going, you're a cunt, and I hope you get purposefully prescribed the wrong medicine.
Bastards.
Right? And I'm thinking, but
that'll
this is
your
not
point, though, wouldn't it?
This is not the you want to be taken seriously as professionals, mm-hmm. but you are dogpiling me mm-hmm. with like foul language and abuse, and I can't. If I'd upset, for instance, the GP community, I just can't see them responding in this way.
No, exactly. You.
So I think you're undermining your own point that you're serious professional people because you're coming across like children. I'm saying this because I know there is one IFS member who is a pharmacist and wrote us a message saying, well, I'm a bit torn now because I'm IFS, but I'm a lifelong pharmacist. For fuck's sake, I made a joke. Yes, it was stupid. Clearly, it was wrong. Most people know that pharmacists are more than glorified shopkeepers. But for fuck's sake, just like do your job and don't worry about what a gobshite like me has said on This Morning. It makes no fucking odds to anyone.
All the dogpiling from these pharmacists could have an adverse effect on your mental health. So then, you know, where's their fucking Hippocratic oath then?
Yeah, it fucking has, mate. And what else have they done? Yeah, so then they jump on Top Flight Time Machine because they've researched me. They've obviously Googled, found that. So then they can't post on my timeline. So they go on Top Flight Time Machine and a pharmacist, someone who's trying to say, look, basically I'm an extremely well-qualified medical professional, has spent his time Googling me, finding out a podcast I do, finding that podcast on Facebook, listening to a podcast, and then posting the words... You couldn't find too unfunny a couple of pricks. Right? And you sort of think, fine, mate, that's fine. We are pricks. And, you know, a lot of the time we're unfunny too, I suppose.
Well,
But why, if you are a serious medical professional, are you this wound up by what an unfunny prick has said on a daytime TV show? And why are you seeking out his podcast and abusing not just him, but what's Andy Dawson now? Collateral damage. He hasn't said anything about the pharmaceutical community.
Collaborator? I don't know.
Enabler?
Do I get done for conspiracy or something like that? I don't know.
It is unbelievable, the amount of shit. But listen, you remember you've been dogpiled before. I remember when you got dogpiled by the Owen Jones supporters that time.
Yeah.
Now, what I've done is just not rise to it because I don't see the point. There's nothing I could say. Even if I said a heartfelt apology... No one's gonna go, okay, fair enough. Do you know what I mean? It'll just make it worse. But you go out, you in the past have adopted a different policy of coming out swinging. What would your advice be in a dogpile situation? Do you have any regrets about the way in which you have responded to past to historical dogpiles?
Let's just say I wouldn't do it again now. I do things differently now. I would just ignore them, I would just go
That's
silent.
What I'm doing.
Yeah,
that's what
just
I'm doing.
Saying nothing. I'm looking at a tweet here from UHM29, who has only done one tweet on their account, apparently. Even though
they started it probably just for me. Well,
I thought that, but it says member since 2014, so I think they do tweets and then delete everything. And it says, who the hell are you to discredit thousands of pharmacists like that?
Yeah.
You better make some sort of apology or things are not going to end here.
Well, that's the thing. I've had a lot of threats. A lot of threats.
That's a threat.
Oh,
that's a threat.
Mate, that's
an empty
not
threat,
half
obviously.
Of it.
An empty
Someone's
threat.
Done a meme, which I'll post on our Instagram because it is very funny, because they've done one of those stick man memes and they go, this is Sam. Sam has a friend called Eamon, and they've done another stick man that's supposed to be Owen Holmes. And it says, they go on telly and think they're clever. They are not. They are stupid and ignorant. Don't be like Sam. Which I thought was quite funny. And... But the lengths that they're going to, there are lots of threats. And then you go through it in your mind and think, well, what are you threatening me of? Are you going to lobby This Morning until I can no longer go on it? I mean, banned before.
You just come from a nine-year ban. I think your ban's probably been reactivated.
When you say to a career criminal, you're going down, mate, to Chokey, a lot of them go, fine, I'll do the time, no problem. But beyond that, pharmacists... First of all, you shouldn't go around threatening people. It's mean and it's aggressive and it is hateful. And secondly, what actually is the nature of the threat? I suppose they could sue me. Nah, they can't sue me.
I suppose you should. The only time you should reply and respond is to ask them to, you know, elaborate on what the threat is going to be. Why?
Yeah, that's so provocative.
Dilip M says, why isn't Delaney Man responding to this barrage of criticism?
Yeah.
Where is he hiding? Where are you hiding, Delaney Man?
I'm in my spider hole. I'm hiding from the pharmacists in a spider hole and I'm growing a really long beard.
Honestly, I started doing the live shows with Bob last night. And yeah. since like sort of Wednesday last week, I've just been completely engrossed in getting ready for that.
Been
and
on Twitter or anything.
I've not been on. I had no idea about any of this till we started doing this podcast. And now I'm scrolling down your replies. Fucking hell. I had no idea it was this huge. Jesus.
It's mad, mate. And you haven't even seen the clip of what I said. I think if you
I watched it. Yeah, I watched
okay.
it. I saw that.
So could you imagine when I said it, did you, a seasoned observer of social media,
and the
wider media, right?
Yeah.
Someone whose analysis and experience of these episodes, I would say, is very worthwhile. Would you have sat there and thought, right, he is going to get dogpiled to fuck for the whole weekend now?
Nah. I didn't even raise an eyebrow.
No. You thought, yeah, typical Sam, stupid cunt, said an idiotic remark.
Yeah.
He's done an idiotic joke about pharmacists, fine.
Yeah.
They'll probably not invite him on again, but not because he's offensive, mainly because his thoughts are unfunny and empty, right?
Wow.
But no, you would have thought I'd actually done a racism or something.
Pray tell why you thought it appropriate to slate an entire profession for which it takes 5 years to qualify on national television with your ignorant view. You don't insult an entire profession and expect us to lie down and accept it. You see, we are pharmacists and pharmacy staff, and we fight all day for healthcare against funding cuts, short staffing and pressure. We will not accept it.
Do you know what someone... someone posted that meme on Twitter, and I've saved it because I'm quite proud of it in a weird way. But someone else posted it this morning on Facebook, right? And they just wrote above it, "Do not fuck with us." These are pharmacists, man. These are pharmacists. Do not fuck with us. This is like, they're behaving like the mafia.
They're like terrorists.
Yeah. It's like, I've upset the real IRA.
Is it wrong for me to observe that there are quite a lot of very attractive lady pharmacists who've replied to you?
Yeah, well.
I'm merely just looking at their profile pictures now. I've had a bit of a sidetrack from the issue at hand.
But, where will it end?
Wow.
Now, mate, let me tell you something, actually. I didn't want to talk at length about it, but do not make this the title of the show, because when we tweet it, all the pharmacists will listen, which may lead to a short-term surge in our listens.
Yeah.
But, you know, it'll just stir it out. I'm waiting for it to just fucking die down, because where do they think it's going to go?
I don't know. Well, these things happen. It's like, you know, they used to say that today's newspapers are tomorrow's fish and chip wrappers. And that's what they said. Everyone will move on to being angry about fucking something else later on.
What did Owen Jones's acolytes do? When did they stop?
It was about a couple of days, I think.
Yeah.
2-3 days.
And that was with you interacting as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the thing is, Owen Jones's acolytes have lots of things to be angry about, whereas the pharmacists haven't really had a target. In many ways, I think I've done them a service, because what they started a hashtag, right?
Did they?
To promote what pharmacists do.
Well, right, good.
And in a way, it motivated them, my comments motivated them, into effectively a social media campaign to raise awareness of what pharmacists actually do and what they contribute, which clearly is not something they've done sufficiently in the past. And I was the catalyst for it.
Yeah.
And so in some ways it's good, because you need an enemy, don't you? And I'm their enemy.
You've been like a lightning rod almost for their anger that's been pent up for a long time.
I'll just have to take it. Do you know what I mean?
I'll just
have to take it. But I would say that the abuse and threats is very unsavoury and doesn't reflect well on them.
No, it
doesn't. I mean, my comments don't reflect well on me. But they were tongue-in-cheek comments.
Yeah.
And if they suggest that I'm ignorant, well, then that's correct, isn't it? Because I am ignorant of pharmacists. I'm not anymore. Trust me.
I fucking
know all about it now. So that's that.
I think it's kind of like there's a time and a place for certain comments about certain things. And Top Flight Time Machine, maybe you've been softened by this platform that you've got, where we pretty much say anything about anything, knowing that the listeners know we're taking the piss.
Yeah.
And then you've taken that attitude and you've gone on to This Morning.
I think you're right.
And you've been complacent and slightly lazy, dare I say. You haven't read the room. And it happens. Do you know what I mean?
But I think you're right. I think that's a really... I think that's a really good analysis. But I think that the truth is that... Well, actually, funnily enough, a researcher came in to brief me on the stories. Mm. And he was a young lad. And the first thing he said was, oh, I listened to your podcast. I listened to Top Flight Time Machine.
Right.
And I go, oh, great. And I was really chuffed. And he was talking to me about it and saying how funny it was. So then I warmed to him because I thought, this lad thinks I'm quite the funny man. So then he said, here are the stories that we want you to talk about. And the first one he said was about the chemists. Right. So I started saying this shit to him, right?
Yeah, in TFTM to style. Make it,
yeah, because I thought, I think probably I got excited that he was a TFTM fan. So I go, nah, bloody chemists. I mean, I'm not having them talk to me about my health. They're just glorified shopkeepers. And of course he's laughing, but he knows I'm joking. And then because he laughed, I thought, yeah, I'll take this on air, see where I go with it. But you know, I think Vanessa Feltz cut me down and corrected me, which in a way I thought provided balance. But
should have been the end of Vanessa,
she's not on Twitter. She has someone else run her account, so she won't have seen it. But loads of people are attacking her as well, even though she quite clearly cuts me down and points out that they have to do 5 years of training.
Well, it's done now. You can't put the frog back in the box.
Who would have thought, mate, it was the pharmacist? It's like when Al Capone gets taken down for tax evasion. I've been looking out for Millwall and the cat people and all these other people. But the whole time, who would have known the irony that it's the pharmacists who take me down once and for all?
If you do actually get a Millwall pharmacist out there, you are fucked. That's where the real threat's going to come from.
They used to have a firm in the 70s called The Treatment, and they all wore the surgical masks. Yeah, Millwall had a firm. There's a documentary about it, a panorama. You can watch it on YouTube. And they had this, team who stood on the terraces, this firm called The Treatment, and they wore medical masks. And I think one of the things they did was they carried syringes with them with, you know, ammonia in. And that's why they called themselves The Treatment.
Right.
And they were chemists. Maybe they were pharmacists. Maybe we're joining the dots here. Yeah. And maybe there is a strong Millwall element amongst the pharmaceutical community.
There's a wider conspiracy here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Definitely.
Fucking Big Pharma, mate. That's what this is. Big Pharma. Don't take them on because they will shut you down.
That's what it is.
Anyway, from now on, I will be doing this podcast from my spider hole, which is somewhere. All I will say is it's somewhere on planet Earth. That's as specific as I'm prepared to be.
Jalapeño.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
Shall we move on?
Let's do predictions. I think you've had a good weekend.
You've had a great weekend.
Oh, have I? I thought you had.
No, you had a brilliant weekend. You've got nine points.
All right, good.
You've got Liverpool 2, Man United 0. And you also got MK Dons 0, Sunderland 1. You predicted my team's result.
Whoa.
Having said that, I then predicted your team's result, which was 1-1, West Ham Everton.
Right.
So I cancelled each other out there. So I got 6, you've got 9. Results bot, 11.
Oh, the fucker.
No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm wrong. He's got 8. I've put him down with 6 for Millwall Reading, but he got it. He said 1-0, but it was 2-0. Right, there you go then. Results bot's on it. 8 for the weekend. That puts him on 91. So now I'm on 112. You are on 106. So gaining some ground there. Results bot's on 91. Still all to play for. very exciting.
So you would have missed Man U Liverpool because completely. You were prepping for the show last night.
We were on
night.
Stage at 6 o'clock, so we were on when it was still playing, I think.
How did the show go?
It was pretty good. Yeah, we didn't really have any idea how it was going to play out before we went on. We didn't really know if we knew any of the stuff we were supposed to say.
Right.
But that kind of shambolic vibe got us through, I think. People enjoyed it. Second show was a bit tighter. Everyone seemed to have a nice time, and that's all you can ask for.
Tonight, I'm coming with my photographs to sign and my... But now, fucking hell, the pharmacist might turn up.
You've just advertised your fucking whereabouts?
If Atletico Mint's gig is disrupted by a pharmacist protest, then I can only apologise to you and Bob. But hang on a minute. Oh, maybe I should ask you this off air. I can't remember which one you've put me on the list for.
You're on the first one, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
Have you got any spares?
No.
Can I bring an extra person?
No. Totally sold out. You might get one if someone advertises one on Twitter for sale.
Me plus one. I've got two, right?
Plus one, yeah.
All right, cool.
I think it is. Should be. I'll let you know.
Yeah.
So, it went really well. Looking forward to tonight.
Well, you missed Man U Liverpool, but as you may have seen on Twitter, a lot of people were getting in touch because it was quite a tour de force by Roy Keane afterwards.
Again, I've just seen tweets. I didn't see anything that he'd said.
Beforehand, I missed it, but I've seen clips and read it that he was worried before the game because he saw Luke Shaw warming up in a silly hat. He objected to Luke Shaw's hat. And he takes things like this as signals that the players are not serious enough about what they do, right? And Souness loves it. Souness is sat there and he agrees with everything Keane says because his whole thing is this is a physical battle and you're going to war. And unless you have the mindset of a warrior, then you stand no chance.
And Shaw wasn't wearing the hat of a warrior.
Well, no, he should have been wearing a Viking helmet.
The hat of a clown.
Yeah. But afterwards, it was fucking sensational. It was Patrice Evra, who's good value because he's quite very eccentric. Souness... Dave Jones, as usual, trying to hold the madness together. Mm. But Dave Jones is great because he always has this small grin on his face, like he knows how mad it all is and he loves it. And Carragher and Keane really went at it because Keane was saying you need to give Solskjaer time. And Carragher's going, what are you talking about? Where do you think he's going to take him? I mean, and he went, I'm not seeing it because Ole, I know Ole, and he was in the team with me. It's got nothing to do with that. I said, all the managers should get time. I said, all of them. I said, Moyes should get time. And he goes, and do you think that Moyes, if he'd been given more time, would have put the club back at the top now? I don't bloody know, Jamie. But whether it's him, whether it's Mourinho, whether it's Van Gaal, they all need time. Souness is just fucking loving it. Like, yeah, this is good. Like, they really yeah. At one point, God, I did boys. Think... at one point, it got really aggro. Like, they were shouting over each other like it might kick off. Souness, meanwhile, was most impressed by... I don't know if you saw the images of Mo Salah celebrating his goal right at the end. He took his shirt off, Cristiano Ronaldo style, and displayed his gorgeous body to the crowd. And Souness, of course, fucking loved that. He was talking about the difference between them and Man U. He goes... You look at those Man U players, you question their hunger. You look at Salah at the end there. The lad takes his shirt off.
He's a beautiful specimen.
He literally said something like, he's obviously looking after himself very well. It was impressive.
Sinewy.
Yeah, look at that. Sinewy. 5 naps a day, just like
AT. Yeah.
The more you sleep, the more sinewy you become.
He's been following the Ronaldo plan.
90 minutes, the length of a football match. That's the trick. Get back up. An hour later, do the same thing. Have some chicken.
You have a nap for 90 minutes. You've got to dream an entire match in that 90 minutes.
But do not dream the half time. You haven't got time. Go straight to the second half. Skip it out.
And there's no stoppage time either. It's not a conventional football match.
Hey, other news, I was in a pub yesterday in Surrey.
Right.
And on the table next to me was Wayne Bridge and Frankie from the Saturdays.
Ooh. Showbiz royalty.
That's the beginning and end of my story.
Is that it?
Okay. Nothing more to report.
I don't think I've seen.
I thought it was worth mentioning.
I haven't seen anyone. Well, I was on stage with Bob Mortimer, obviously. That's the only famous person I've seen this weekend, I think. Would you regard yourself as an influencer now as a result of the last few days?
An influencer in the pharmacy community. I influence hate.
And also, because of this podcast, do you think you would regard... Put the pharmacy thing aside. Do you think we are now influencers as a result of doing this podcast?
Yes.
We are. I think so as well. Quite interesting looking at a headline on BBC News website this morning. Influencers being offered thousands for sex.
Right.
So, have you had any offers?
I can't say I have, no. But over the years, I've had a lot of different email addresses, different jobs, different burner emails, etc., etc. So they might be coming, or I can assume, do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to check my spam folder.
Some of the offers may have gone to dormant email addresses.
They might have done that, like my old Hotmail.
Somewhere like that, yeah.
I've had them all. I've had ITN ones.
AOL.
I've had, I've had everything, right? Mm. So I might... I think probably the best thing is I check my spam.
Yeah, that's where the sex offers are probably going to be. Yeah.
And see if there's anything sitting there, because that is disappointing. What about you? Have you had any?
No, nothing else yet, no. But you know.
Your problem is, as I know when we do our live shows, you don't strut around enough or afterwards. I think there'd be very many merry widows at your Atletico Mint shows.
Do you think?
And if you came out strutting about with your chest puffed out a bit more... after the show, maybe with your peacocking, maybe with a shirt that's sort of undone almost to the navel, and a towel because you've just come off stage and you're sort of perspiring, and just come out breathless, shirt undone quite low, tight trousers, and just peacock around a bit because there'll be stragglers, like some widow stragglers, waiting around after the show with a bag of cash for you.
That might be what I need to do. I'll not give too much away, but you're coming tonight. I will say, talking about a there is a shirt that I wear in the show tonight which might
be
enhance my chances, I think, of getting a sex offer.
Yeah.
But, that's all I'm going to say, but look forward to that. So I know,
there's offering.
I mean, these are obviously all pretty young women who are getting these offers, but there's one saying that she was 19 and she was propositioned with an offer of $20,000 for dinner and drinks.
Disgusting.
Fucking hell. Terrible.
I mean,
definitely wouldn't be interested in being on the receiving end of that kind of offer.
$20,000? Dinner and drinks? I don't know, mate. I mean, I think it's inappropriate to offer that to a 19-year-old girl.
Yeah.
But you're an adult male. You've been around. I mean, I think you'd have to consider it. I mean, forget about the money. The dinner and drinks, mate.
I think my level of conversation would be higher than that of a 19-year-old girl as well. No disrespect. Yeah, definitely.
You got knowledge of a range of subjects.
Yeah.
You could...
DIY,
I mean,
football.
Football, music.
Some music. Not modern music.
You could discuss with them the music of, like, for instance, Prefab Sprout.
Yeah, Sparks, that sort of thing.
And that's interesting.
That would make for a solid dinner, I think.
And also crime documentaries.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a really great conversation. You don't know where... I don't know if you get to choose. You don't have expensive restaurant taste either, do you?
No, like, not really.
You'd be quite happy with somewhere quite basic and a few beers.
Anything, Nando's level, I'd be quite happy with.
Yeah, a few of those Brazilian beers, bit of chicken, bit of chat about DIY music, bargain hunting, stuff like that. And then afterwards, see where it takes you. See how you feel.
It was the bingo.
Don't do anything against your will.
Mm. But if the money's right.
Other news from the weekend that I found entertaining was, I don't know if you saw Match of the Day, but the best bit on Match of the Day was when, is he Steve Cook, the guy who plays for Bournemouth?
Yes.
He made an amazing save, right? It was just, it's the sort of thing you only see in like five a side. He made a bit of an error and the keeper, basically the keeper was stranded and the Norwich striker had an open goal and Steve Cook had fallen over in front of the goal and it was like he'd caused the mess himself. So when the Norwich striker shot, he sprung like a cat, like Charlie Carter out of Melchester Opens, and tipped the ball round the fucking post. So nice. It wasn't one of those cheeky handballs where you just slyly try to stick your hand out next to your leg so no one notices. He flung himself. It was basically a world-class save.
Yeah.
And he was immediately sent off. So I found that very entertaining, and I would like to see it more.
It reminds me of that time Stephen Taylor at Newcastle did the same thing. He saved, one on the line, and then he fell over as if he'd been shot.
Oh, yeah. He thought if I pretend that I'm hurt, the referee might feel sorry for me or just forget about what's just happened in the fuss over my mad injury. That's what he thinks is going to happen.
But no, red card. Off you go.
Yeah. See you, mate. Scored. I think Pookie should win Player of the Year. Because
really?
I was looking at him with his beard. He's a strange little sort of, you know, troll man, isn't he?
Mm.
And is he Finnish or Icelandic?
That's one of them. I don't know.
Anyway, he's come from there. No one knew who the fuck he was. He's come up from the Championship. He doesn't look the part, does he? He's got a weird beard. He looks quite small. He looks strangely old, right? And he has been one of the most consistent goal scorers in the Premier League this season for a team that are rock bottom.
Yeah.
His name's Pookie. He's a strange man, but I think, you know, he defies all the glamorous cliches of Premier League football.
Yeah, proper
and
football.
And what he's achieved is remarkable.
Yeah.
And I wish he played for West Ham. I think he should get Player of the Year. They often give Manager of the Year to a manager who hasn't necessarily won the league but has overachieved considering the club he's at. Like, and I think that's why Pookie should probably be given Player of the Year.
Yeah.
I remember Scott Parker got PFA Player of the Year the year West Ham were relegated.
Jesus.
We got relegated and he won, I think, either PFA or Writers Player of the Year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pookie probably will sign for West Ham for about £45 million and be shit.
And then, be shit for a few games and then get really badly injured.
Yeah.
And the injury, at first they say it's 6 weeks, then they say it's 6 months, and then eventually they just announce his career's over and he's going to play in America.
Yeah. Can we end with something that I've been threatening for a few episodes now? It's a John Timbrell update. Yeah.
Yeah, great.
I'll just read it from Gloucestershire Live, our regular Timbrell source. I'll read the headline first. Pensioner John Timbrell calls judge an idiot in court row surrounding access to land containing cesspit. Forrester Ding pensioner has accused the judge of being an idiot and a blackmailer during an argument over the amount of costs he should be paid after a case against him was dropped by the prosecution. So he's had a win. Timbrell's had a win. The prosecution have stepped back. He had been accused of breaching a restraining order and he planned to defend himself at Gloucester Crown Court without a lawyer. Excellent. But at the court on Monday, this was back in December, Prosecutor Giles Nelson said the Crown had decided not to proceed with the allegation that Mr. Timbrell had entered an area of land from which he's been banned by a restraining order. They've probably just, the prosecutors have gone, oh, it's Timbrell, off. Just fucking leave it. Let's just not. It's nearly Christmas. Let's just not.
I think Timbrell, that's one of his secrets.
Some of his tactics,
isn't it? He causes a huge fuss over everything. It's a bit like a Stephen Taylor. If you cause a big fucking fuss, then maybe people will just give up.
Yeah. The Crown said the restraining order area on the map was ambiguous and not accurate enough to secure a conviction. Timbrell, a former police officer, said, I've been arrested 5 times this year on my own property, known as Prosser's. Right. Which is subject to the restraining order. I don't want to be arrested again. The land is where my cesspit is stored, and the 4 complainants have let their animals damage the area around it. I entered the area because I needed to repair it. So he needed to repair his cesspit. We all do now and again.
Yeah.
So, you know, when it needs to be done. The judge said a more accurate map has been produced that will form part of the restraining order in the future, and he emphasised, I make it clear you are not to go on that land. If you do so, it is at your own risk. We are not concerned with what happened in the past. We are concerned with the future. I'm warning you again, you must not go on that land. And then there was an exchange with the judge over the amount of costs he should be entitled to. Timbrell accused the judge of bullying him. The judge said £45 in travel expenses should be enough for Timbrell. But if he wanted more, he would have to adjourn the hearing and Timbrell would then be liable to pay the court costs for another hearing. Timbrell said, it appears to me you are an idiot, effectively blackmailing me, that I would effectively lose the expenses due to the costs of the case. I'm only pointing that out.
Why does he have to get so personal?
Well, it's how he is, isn't he? I'm pointing out there will be an expensive exercise to hold another hearing. The judge says, I need to advise you, you must not tell judges they are blackmailing idiots. begrudgingly, Timbrell said, "I'll accept the £45 and that's it." Fantastic.
You're nautical judges blackmailing idiots. Yeah, all right, pal. Fine.
Fair enough. Look, I'll take the money. Let's just leave. Let's call it a draw.
Fair enough, mate. Respect the point. That's what I say.
Probably see you again in about March. There you go. That's the Timbrell update we've been threatening for a while. I think we'll call it a day there.
We'll call it a day. Enjoy the show tonight. I'll be obviously causing a fuss outside the front. Yeah. I'll be bothering you before and after the show. I'll be making a nuisance of myself.
Yeah, I'm going to have a bit of a wander around London today, and then I'll probably have me to a nap mid-afternoon.
Yeah, lovely.
Everyone needs a bit of that.
You've got that hotel room that you're in today, that you stayed in last night. You've got it all day today as well.
Yeah.
So you've got a nap rig. You've got a nap rig in central London the whole day.
Yep.
You know, you're like Michael Caine. It's amazing.
Kind of am, aren't I? I was thinking that earlier. Right, there we are. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow with a mailbag delve.
Until
TTFN.
Then. TTFN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.